This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's Friday, May 24th, 2019, the beginning of a three-day Memorial Day holiday weekend. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We are watching for a possible flash flooding later today, and we'll keep you up to the very latest as we enter the weekend. Right now, we've got temperatures along the lake about 60 degrees.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Markets are in positive territory this Friday afternoon. Let's get the latest now from Bloomberg and Elisa Parenti.
That's right, Robin. The gains are growing. The Dow up 117 points now, or about 0.5%, moving above 25,600. NASDAQ higher by 31, S&P gaining 9. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index now advancing almost 0.3%. President Trump said Huawei may be part of a trade deal in a shift from previous efforts to portray the U.S. campaign against the telecom as a separate issue. But the president said a pact to end the trade war remains a, quote, good possibility. Trump has unveiled his latest package to help farmers survive the trade war with China. The program includes $14.5 billion in direct payments to producers. Farmers can expect to receive those first payments by July or August. And the Securities and Exchange Commission is investigating whether Boeing improperly disclosed issues tied to its grounded 737 MAX. That's what sources are telling Bloomberg. The probe is looking into whether Boeing adequately notified shareholders about material problems with the plane. And the SEC is also reviewing Boeing's accounting to make sure its financial statements reflected the potential impacts from those problems. Back to you, Rob and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, the trade war, Brexit, the Wall Street, and the start of the barbecue season. Think there will be enough?
And it's Entrepreneur Friday. It's not enough because it is Entrepreneur Friday. And we'll talk to some kid entrepreneurs.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday toward planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Questions about Brexit increase with the resignation of Theresa May as Britain's prime minister. We'll discuss that situation in our next segment. Right now, the impact of the trade dispute between the U.S. and China is very specific when it comes to retail. Let's talk about some of the areas of concern with Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. Jan, welcome back to the program. How is the trade war playing out on the battlefields of the shopping mall?
Well, the trade war is going to be exciting, to say nothing about what's going on out there, because people have to do some things with their supply chain. But you have to remember that for my side of the business, things like apparel and accessories and that things that we buy every day in the fashion side, they've been moving out of China very quickly already. 5 years ago, 50% of the production of apparel and accessories came out of China to the States. Today, it's 15%. That's not because of the tariffs. That's because prices in China started getting too high, and Vietnam and Bangladesh and Sri Lanka and various other places were cheaper. This will just accelerate that movement. So for those kind of products, we're just going to see it leave faster.
It's for most of us who may not be able to grasp the entire the enormity of international trade, and you think the two players are simply the U.S. and China. This is not a binary conflict.
No, and nobody really understands it. There's been several studies done, and if you look at the study on what happened with the 10% tariff on $200 billion worth of goods that started last October, Goldman Sachs basically came out with a study that said $20 billion, the 10% on an annualized basis, was basically passed through to the American consumer. At the same time, J.P. Morgan, who's just as smart and has just as good an analytical group, said, yes, but the currency differences change so much that in net effect is $50 billion of reduced cost because we import $525 billion worth of stuff from China and the currency changed by 10%. And so actually the consumer saved $50 billion on that $525. So net effect was, since the tariffs, $30 billion to the good for consumers. So it kind of depends on who you talk to. Is it bad for the consumer? It might be bad for any individual consumer, depending on what they buy. But for the consumer writ large in the U.S. economy, they actually have done better since the tariffs went on.
And for the other countries that are trading with the U.S., who's doing well?
Well, this is good for the other countries, because if you're Vietnam, you're seeing people like Nike say, I'm expanding my plant in Vietnam instead of bringing that 22% out of China. So, yes, if you're any of the other countries that are suppliers to the U.S. of product, they're seeing that be very positive. On the other hand, if you're Europe and you're selling Hermes and Gucci and LVMH and things like that into the Chinese market, that's been a problem, because a lot of your business is going to a country where the consumer is not doing as well as they were prior to the tariffs, and so their business is tougher. So it just depends on who you are. Selling into China, it's a problem. Getting product from other countries helps their economy a lot and depresses China's. So it's totally not binary. There is so much going on that if you drew the flow chart, you'd still be wrong.
That's for sure. Thanks so much for sitting with us for a few minutes today. Jan Rogers Niffen is CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. And coming up, Britain's prime minister is calling it quits, throwing more doubt into Brexit.
Because money matters. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The resignation of Theresa May as prime minister means Britain's exit from the European Union remains in flux. Let's get the latest now from Emma Ross Thomas, reporter for Bloomberg based in London. Emma, welcome to the program. It looks like number 10 Downing Street is now 0-2 against Brexit. Theresa May is now the second British prime minister to step down because of this divorce from the European Union. Is there any indication that the next prime minister will have any success in shepherding this through?
Well, that is a very good question. And of course, 3 years on from the referendum, we still do not know what Brexit is actually going to mean, just how distant a divorce from the European Union is going to be, or whether, in fact, it will be delivered at all. Now, it is very early days to start to speculate as to who the next prime minister will be. That's going to be chosen by the party faithful of the Conservative Party. That's just 120,000 people, a very select pro-Brexit group of people. The front runner so far, according to the bookmakers, is Boris Johnson, and he was very quick off the blocks today to set out what he would try to renegotiate with the EU. So what Boris Johnson, he was in Switzerland, and he said that he would try to renegotiate the most toxic part of the deal, the bit that really caused her most trouble in Parliament. The EU, by the way, has said that they are not going to renegotiate this part. But Boris Johnson said he would renegotiate, and if they said no, then he would make good on a promise to pull the UK out of the EU without a deal. Now, just a reminder about what no deal means. It means that all kinds of trade is snarled, markets get bunged up, there is customs checks on the border. It's a very, very chaotic situation and the scenario that markets and businesses fear most. So Boris Johnson is saying that the country should prepare for no deal so that it's a credible threat. Now, what are markets doing? The pound is down a bit on the prospect of a hardliner coming into number 10 Downing Street. And we will see over the coming weeks, I think people are going to be listening very carefully to see what the leadership candidates say about their vision of Brexit. The thing to point out, though, of course, is that whoever the leader is, the parliamentary arithmetic remains the same. And very soon, the new leader is going to find that the sort of immovable obstacles that Theresa May found apply to them, too.
Very quickly, what are the odds of there being a snap election for a new prime minister by the time this is all over?
Yeah, good question. I think probably there is a growing consensus that we will end up in either a general election or a second referendum. Remember, the Tory party do not have a majority. That means that the new leader is going to really struggle to get a majority around whatever position he pursues. And certainly the opposition Labour Party are on an election footing.
Emma, nice to talk with you today. Thanks for joining us. Emma Ross Thomas is reporter for Bloomberg in London. Still ahead on the Noon Business Hour, a look at Chicago's young entrepreneurs and grilling ideas from a meat professional.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. Now WBBM Business News from Bloomberg. And here's Elisa Parenti.
Rob, the Dow is up 96 points, or more than a third of a percent. NASDAQ higher by 27, and the S&P adding 8. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is up 0.25%. Beijing is committed to striking a trade deal with the U.S., but it's ready to respond with more countermeasures if needed. That is according to China's ambassador to the U.S. He called the U.S. blacklisting of Huawei an unusual act of state power against a company. Crude oil futures are up 1% to $58.50, but holding the weekly loss to under 8%. So still a pretty rough week for oil and stocks, although we're ending on a positive note here. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We have higher prices across the board on grains. Wet weather and projections of continued wet weather for the next couple of weeks have everything higher. July corn's up 12.5 at 4.02 1/4. December up 10 3/4 at 4.18 3/4. Beans for July up 9 at 8.30 1/2. November's up 9 at 8.57 1/4. And July wheat up 18 1/4 at 4.88 1/2. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities and Normal. You can reach us at 800-779-1515.
Many thanks, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are higher on this final day of the trading week. We'll see what's boosting the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday will put the focus on young people in Chicago who are breaking through with innovative ideas.
Memorial Day weekend has arrived, meaning it's time to fire up the grill. We'll get some tips from the owner of a popular Chicago meat market.
A federal lawsuit is filed over Alabama's new abortion law, while Missouri's governor signs a similar bill.
WBBM Business, the markets are in positive territory this afternoon. The Dow up 97 points, the NASDAQ up 25, the S&P 500 up 8.
WBBM News Time, 12:31. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Hey, markets are making gains today. We're joined by Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital, based in Chicago. Matt, welcome back to the program. After a big-time sell-off yesterday, it sounds like the financial markets took their breath and they wanted to go into the three-day weekend with a smile on their face.
Yeah, happy Memorial Day, Rob. Yeah, I think we got a chance, actually, for a strong finish. It's been a very soggy 5 weeks, but if you look at the overall trend of the market, it has held up on moving average lines, which sets up, if we have a little bit of recovery, a little bit of a clarity, or at least an easing of the China headlines, we have a chance of really a strong recovery in the second and third quarter here.
Why is it that the financial markets have been thrown into turmoil by the back and forth with China? Because if you've been following Donald Trump, either as president or as a candidate, you knew that the saber rattling with China was an inevitability.
Well, you know, I think we talked about it on the air, kind of the first smartphone correction we had in December. I think a lot of people, of course, are very polarized, following the news constantly on their phones. And it makes people very edgy, and you know, there are serious changes in policy. Notwithstanding a Trump or a Democratic administration, we're seeing that there are going to be real limits on technology transfer between the United States and China, and the market's kind of owning up to that reality, and the stocks are sifting that out. So we have a backdrop of a strong U.S. economy and very low interest rates. But of course, Rob, in the short term, every investor acts like they're very resolute, but in aggregate, they all act like cowards. So there's a lot of stocks that are real low right now and that are good buys.
You want to throw out a few names?
Well, sure. You know, all the big names are down pretty good, whether it's Intel, Cisco, which is going to be forefront in the 5G now that the Chinese are going to be restricted. Amazon down from its recent highs of about 1900. Notwithstanding that, Chris, there have definitely been some serious fallen angels that have definitely concerned the markets, 3M being an example of that. The healthcare stocks not doing well because of the politics of the day, CVS being an example of that, biotechnology names. So there's a lot of technology in the leading stocks
that are doing very well and you can buy now. But the downer stocks, I think you got to avoid.
What do you think of Amazon right now?
Well, I just heard an ad that they're hiring new drivers. So that's put a lot of pressure on on FedEx and UPS. Amazon is doing great. They're doing everything right. In my view, Jeff Bezos will eventually be he's the richest man in the world right now. He will be even more so over the next 10 or 15 years. So I think investors with a long-term outlook, I mean, Amazon's not going to double or triple like it did over the past 5 or 6, 7 years, but it will continue, I think, to have an above-average return relative to the rest of the market over the next few years.
The Memorial Day weekend is the unofficial start to summer. Are there any sectors on the stock market that are good summer buys where business picks up during the summer months?
Well, everyone's going to be driving in their cars, supposedly. And one thing I explained to my investors is cars are central to modern life. It's hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars in our economy, and it's not going to go away. Cars, car insurance, gas, and the like. Phillips 66, one of the largest refiners in the world, is low, kind of got wrecked with the whole oil pullback, pays a big dividend. The stock symbol is PSX, and the yield is over 3%, is about $82. A stock I have been buying is called Copart, which is in the auto remarketing and recycling business. So everyone's on their smartphones bashing each other in a car. That goes into a salvage yard in Elgin, Illinois, and goes into the sort of the Amazon of the salvage business. And these cars are valuable. When they got their front end bashed up, they get taken apart, transsold to Mexico, other economies. That stock just had earnings. The stock symbol is CPRT. Up on a very strong earnings report. It's about $70 a share. So in traditional economy kind of stocks, there's lots of things to look at.
So, Matt, basically that commercial is correct. That old car is worth money.
It's worth more wrecked sometimes than it is driving on the road.
Since summer is here and people are going to be, they'll go down to Disney World, do media stocks pick up during the summer, especially companies like Disney that has a theme park portfolio?
Well, I've always liked Disney. Remember, it had been a laggard. How many people out there had owned Disney over the last 5 years, stuck at 100? Maybe you bought it at 120. You're like, should I give up? Should I give up? And then just had tremendous earnings reports. I mean, everything is hitting great with Disney. Obviously, a little concerned over there, the Disney World in China. However, the stock's been quite a bit higher. It's now back down to 132. I think it's, a big classic blue chip that you can look at.
Well, thanks for the information today, and have a great weekend, Matt. Matt Shapiro is president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Up next, how young entrepreneurs are making their mark in Chicago.
Cashing in with conversation, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday on the Noon Business Hour. Today, we're shining the spotlight on young innovators, and we welcome Luke Tannen, who is Executive Director of Chicago Innovation. Luke, we've been reading about some of the ideas that the young people have come up for kid entrepreneurs. Tell us how old they are, and how did you get this idea?
Yeah, so they're K through eighth graders throughout the entire city. And really what we're trying to do, our organization, Chicago Innovation, is just to create and support the next generation of innovators and entrepreneurs. And they're here in Chicago. And so what we do, it's a 10-week innovation curriculum where we train the teachers. There were 45 schools that took part, 3,500 students involved this past year. We had a big citywide invention convention where we identified 30 students that now next week on Thursday are going to compete against kids from around the entire country at the National Student Invention Convention.
All right, let's take a look at some of the ideas that they've had. Let's first, the one that concerns a teeter-totter.
What? Oh, I love this one. The one-person teeter-totter. So I have twin boys, so I don't suffer from this problem because the seesaw is like the perfect thing for them because there's two of them. But what if you're the only kid at the park? And that was actually the problem that a six-year-old girl sought out to solve. So the one-person teeter-totter is a seesaw where on one end it's adjustable weights. So you can then make it to weigh the same amount as you. So even if you're by yourself, you can play on the seesaw and have a great time.
And then some of the other ideas, flashlight slippers to help people who may have a tendency to fall in the middle of the night.
Yeah, so flashlight slippers was created. And what I love about this, too, because sometimes these kids are solving problems in their own lives, like that teeter-totter example. But here, this was a student, a fourth-grade student, who had a relative, a grandmother who'd suffered a fall. And, in fact, falls are one of the leading causes of serious injuries for adults over 65. And so she invented slippers that have an LED strip that gets activated when you step into it. And so, if a person needs to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night, steps into these slippers, and now your room's illuminated, eliminating the likelihood that you might fall.
This next one, and the nice thing about all of these, Luke, is that these seem like ideas that I remember myself being in fourth grade and just kind of doodling out ideas for inventions or just flights of fancy of the imagination. And you can actually get a practical application out of it. For example, the wind turbine that you affix to your electric car so you don't have to charge it. It charges itself thanks to the turbine.
That's right. And this was the winner of a special energy award that we had this past year. And so Charge Air was created by two seventh grade students. And it is a wind turbine that affixes to your electric car. So as you're driving down the road, wind power is charging your car's electric battery, so you don't need to stop at charging ports as often. And, it's really a great example of, students are in schools today are really looking at really, really big problems. And my assumption is someday Elon Musk is going to contact these two seventh graders and they're going to team up together.
But it also encourages the imagination. There's nothing wrong with dreaming, nothing wrong with doodling.
That's exactly right. At the core of this, really, it's all about problem solving. And we found that oftentimes kids can be even more creative than adults because as you age, the part of your brain that sort of says, oh, well, this is not going to work, that kind of gets in the way. But we really want young people to hang on to that part of themselves that really truly believes and dreams that anything is possible, because that's what leads to the big world-changing innovations that we all get to benefit from.
We'll be looking at your list from now on, Luke. Very creative. Thanks for joining us. Luke Tannen is Executive Director at Chicago Innovation. Still to come, grilling tips for the holiday weekend.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Memorial Day weekend is the unofficial kickoff of outdoor barbecue season. Let's get some help choosing items for the grill and getting the most from them. We're joined by Bill Begale, owner of the Palina Meat Market, Lincoln and Addison on the north side of Chicago. Bill, you've been billed as the meat professional, and I'm the meat amateur, so I was glad to have you on the program this afternoon. Before we talk about grilling tips for the Memorial Day holiday weekend, how does Memorial Day stack up to some of the other big holidays of the season? How does it stack up to the 4th of July or Thanksgiving or maybe even Christmas when everyone's buying a tenderloin?
Yeah, I think Memorial Day is probably the third busiest holiday, third or fourth. July 4th is the busiest holiday in the summer for us. So, and obviously Christmas and Thanksgiving are bigger. But this is, everybody's excited about it. The weather's not helping too much, but doesn't show that in the store here. We're very busy right now.
And what brings people in? Is it the steaks and chops, or is it the selection of brats and sausages, or is it everything?
I think it's a little bit everything. They know we make everything here. We cut everything fresh. We have a lot of old recipes that we've never changed, and a lot of new things for different types of bratwurst and sausage. So I would say it's a little bit of everything. Plus, we have every cut of steak you can imagine. So,
The meat market goes back to the year 1949. What has changed considerably from 49?
Probably just your options here. I mean, we were traditionally a German meat market, and as time went on, the neighborhood changed, so we changed. So we started adding many more different types of sausages and bratwurst, many more cuts of steaks that. So we have a full line of it right now. We have veal too. A lot of people stopped selling veal. That's probably the big thing that's changed, just the variety that we have to offer.
And even with those who say, you're going to get fat and, you can't eat all that stuff, it doesn't seem to be causing a pullback, does it?
Well, as long as you don't do it every day. I mean, you have a party or you have a gathering and you get together and, that's just like anything else, you don't want to eat something every day. It might not be healthy for you. So if you a little bit is okay once in a while. There's no doubt about that.
And very quickly, I mean, you do talk about trying to roll with the times. You do have bratwurst. You do have steaks and chops. But are you starting to stock more barbecue cuts of meat for people who watch those barbecue shows and want to try brisket themselves?
Yes. I was just going to say brisket and pork shoulder. You know, it started already, you know, probably 2 months ago. People, because it's got a little warmer and they can put it on the grill overnight and slow cook it. That's big for us, briskets and pork shoulder. There's no doubt about that.
Well, Bill, you made us all hungry. So thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. And have a good and busy weekend. Bill Begale of the Palina Meat Market on the north side of Chicago, Lincoln and Addison. You'll find past programs and later today a podcast of this hour at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Radio.com app.
WBBM News Time 12:55. Let's take a look at the markets with Elisa Peretti.
Chris, the Dow is higher by 108 points, or 0.4%. NASDAQ gaining 31, S&P up 9. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg gaining 0.3%. President Trump said Huawei may be part of a trade deal. It's a shift from previous efforts to portray the U.S. campaign against the company as a separate issue. But the president says a pact to end the trade war does remain a good possibility. It's a big stumble for Foot Locker. Shares are sinking almost 17% on the day. The retailer missed sales estimates, and it was a pretty tall order. In the first 3 months of the year, Foot Locker's sales did rise 4.6% from the same time a year earlier, but the estimate was for a 5.5% gain, and profit was also shy of expectations. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.